Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, Dr. Ron McCurdy, professor of music at USC's Thornton School, will help Paula sound like she's knowledgeable when somebody at a party brings up rap music. And Angela Valdez, operations manager of the Water Damage Zone, advises us about mold. Is it a fungus? Is it alive? Will it kill you? Important questions will be answered. And if you want a summer cocktail of comedy and minty advice, you've come to the right place. I'm Adam Felber, dispensing just the right amount of sobriety. And now, please welcome the woman who spikes our punch, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you.
Thank you to tonight's house band, harmonica player Justin Berkobian. Paula, you've just returned from vacation.
I did. I was in Massachusetts. I was in Manchester by the Sea, Massachusetts.
Which used to be just Manchester, and then they realized the ocean was nearby.
Yeah, they upped the snobbery. But I never saw Michelle Williams crying, not even once.
Not really?
That was the Manchester by the Sea movie.
Oh, I didn't
She did a really brilliant crying scene. You know, I'm from Massachusetts originally, but I have to say, and where I was from Sudbury, Massachusetts, and we had a big, big mosquito problem.
Sudbury by the Sump, I believe it's called now.
Yes, exactly. We had a huge mosquito problem, but now when I go to Manchester, these mosquitoes were bigger than I have ever seen.
I think those are called seagulls.
I'm telling you, these were mosquitoes.
Blood-sucking insects.
They were blood-sucking. I get this feeling that they're really pushing for their own movie. You know, because we've had, like, the bee movie, we had the fly,
we had
the
swarm. Basically every insect except mosquitoes.
Them. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I got to tell you, every year they're bigger, they're angry, and they have agents. They are really, pushing. You know, I only take a week's vacation every year. And by the time I get home from Massachusetts, I find myself with a titch of accent. Uh-huh. Partly because I make fun of them the entire week that I'm there.
So you're spending the whole time making fun of their Pepperidge Farm accents?
I can't help myself.
Right.
I do think now, and maybe this is too Democrat of me, with regulation, but I do think there should be a law that people in Massachusetts cannot name their children names they can't pronounce.
What are some of the names
that
you have
in mind? Well, I grew up every day hearing some lady yell, Mac!
Mac,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's supposed to be Mark. Mac! Right. You know what? If you can't pronounce it, don't name your kid that. Mac! My friend Susan introduced me to any number of people named Miri.
Miri?
Miri. This is
Miri
my friend
and
Miri. This is my friend Miri. Right. And I go, well, which? I met a Miri yesterday. No, there's a different Miri. This is different. Every day there's a new Miri. Miri of the day. It's a thing they have
there.
Well,
there's a lot of Miris in Boston, in that area.
I don't know why there should be.
Well, it's a very, very, it was historically a very, very Catholic town.
Yeah. Well, that's over with and now. They just...
No, it's not really
no,
over
it is.
With.
No, it's over. It's
you
over.
You can't just
there's
declare
just...
Catholicism over.
No. You know what it is? There's just like remnant Marys left around,
Miri.
Like a bathtub ring or something from the Catholics. It's a Catholic bathtub ring.
Flattering to your family.
Miri.
Anything else you want to tell me about your vacation, or is that pretty much it, Miri?
No,
and
that Mach. Was... I'll tell you the other thing that happened was, you know, it was a big... The family I used to live with and a couple of their friends, and we all come together or a lot of us for a week. And
it's known as a reunion in some circles.
Yeah, well, it's like a reunion, I guess. It's a vacation. But anyways, you don't go to a reunion for a whole week.
Okay.
It would be too much. one of our friends,
Mach or
a lovely woman, actually, Shelley.
Okay.
Shell. She kept showing pictures. She'd go like, this is, you know, we'd be with everybody, right?
Right.
With our friends and
sure.
family and happy to be there. And then she would take out her phone to show a picture of some landscape from a place where her friend is.
Okay.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And to me, showing pictures on your flat thing or showing like a video is, it is the new telling your dream to people.
Right. It's the thing that people want to tell you, but you don't want to hear.
Yeah. It's
right.
You know, and I have to say, I've done it myself. I've shown the film of a squirrel taking the inside of the cushion on my porch swing.
Oh, I think
I've
you showed me that one.
I did show you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that
you can't really see the squirrel because
no,
I did it through a window.
It looks like a still life with porch swing. It looks
yeah.
like nothing.
And I have to say, well, here he is right here, and yeah. I have to point, and then my finger's over the squirrel. It's not pleasant for anybody. But
no,
you know,
if that's the kind of thing Michelle was doing, I agree. That was
yeah.
incredibly annoying.
Let me tell you something, though. I had a dream last night.
No. No, we're going to move on. You know, while you were gone, back east, the search in L.A. continued for the missing survival expert, Thomas Coyne. We're going to give you weekly updates about this. But for those of you who missed our previous show or two shows ago, we had survival expert Thomas Coyne on the show.
Well, we had him scheduled to be on the show.
We had him scheduled, and he was going to teach us how to survive a bear attack.
Yeah.
And he never showed.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't survive this neighborhood. Because, I mean, honestly, if you're anywhere near Miranda Street in North Hollywood and you're not safely in this studio, just get out.
I can tell you that I broadened our search for Thomas Coyne. I went to the BJ's in Danvers, which is a big box store.
Right.
And
that's in Massachusetts.
Yeah, in Danvers, Massachusetts. I didn't comb the whole store, but I can tell you he's nowhere near the ring ding section.
Yeah. Now, that's a very highly specialized search to go 2,500 miles to a BJ's in Danvers to expect to find our missing survivalist.
I don't like to bite off more than I can chew.
All right, well.
So what I did.
So he's not there.
I was thorough in that one section. And then, you know, I'll go back
so
again.
So our listeners in Danvers, if you're combing the local stores, you can avoid that aisle.
You can skip the ring ding aisle.
This is why our search for Thomas Coyne has not borne fruit as of yet. But we're gonna keep you posted
fruit,
about it.
We could check the fruit aisle. I never even thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're within the sound of my voice in the Danvers area, go look in the fruit section.
Yeah.
For no reason at all. All right, but we're gonna keep updating on what I'm calling the Thomas Coyne affair. Can I have a little Thomas Coyne affair you know, mysterious music?
Went to North Hollywood, never came back.
He's not behind the ring dings. He's not behind the ring dings.
Thomas Coyne never came back.
All right, that's enough. Thank you. thank you so much, house band Justin Verkovian. And speaking of music, one last thing before we get to our first guest. As our listeners know, we're having a contest for this show's theme song. We've got three new entries this week. Ray Horseman, if you can get them queued up. Last week's house band Hope Easton sent us this.
Pounds of stone to get through to you, so you might
one of my favorites so far.
Yeah, it's great. I don't know if we're worthy of that as a theme song.
No, I have to say that when Hope was here as our house band, I believe I did say that the theme songs I would particularly enjoy would mention that I was a genius. So
right.
I may have given her an advantage.
You did. And I don't think you gave that advantage to listener Margaret Boyce, who sent in this entry.
If you're listening to the show, that means you're nobody. If you are listening to the show, that makes you nobody. 'Cause nobody, nobody, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
It's adorable.
You know what? It's a bit of a salted caramel.
Yeah.
You know, there's the sad
sweet
part about how you're nobody, but it's
I'm surprised she's playing a piano and not a ukulele.
Honestly.
That sounds like a ukulele.
There's a bipolar
thumb.
Quality about that one, and I like it.
And you like bipolarity.
I do.
We have one more. This one's from listener Adam Felber.
Ooh, he's got an advantage.
I recorded this in the backyard with some guys I jam with. It's not very
good. It's going to be Poundstone, take four. Here we go.
Well, they already had to do three takes.
She wants to tell you what you can do when you break a bone. She wants to tell you the difference between a muffin and a scone. She wants to tell you that it's all right, that nobody's all alone. But there's nothing she can do. She just can't break through. Because nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me. Because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo, and he has a really gravelly voice. So he'll, it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted, and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is yes. The Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so it's a softness, it's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Yeah, so that one's in the hopper.
Yeah, that's...
It's not my favorite.
Tom Waits is kicking himself right now.
Right. He just smoked a little less. He could still sound like that. All right, now this would ordinarily be where we turn to you for this week's advice, but I feel like we've done about 20 minutes.
Oh, you think we should push forward?
I think maybe we should press forward, if that's all right.
It's fine with me.
Do you want to preview what your advice might have been?
My advice is very brief this week.
Okay,
which
then do it.
Don't fold your cleaning cloths. Put them in like a plastic bin and pull it out of the cabinet where you would have had them folded.
Your cleaning cloths.
Your cleaning cloths. Don't fold them. I spent years folding mine.
Right. And I think most people don't.
What do you mean?
I think most people don't fold their cleaning cloths.
If only I had had this advice years ago.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. I know I spent years folding them. Tedious hour after tedious hour folding my cleaning cloths. And
it
then
feels like a lot of your advice comes from you realize that you've been doing something kind of the dumb way for years.
That I'd say dumb way.
Well, folding
Adam.
Cleaning cloths.
You know what I do is I evolve. I mature into myself.
Right, and I don't.
Well.
All right. Well, thank you for that powerful advice, Paula. It's time now to meet our first guest who has some insights for all of us about rap. Dr. Ron McCurdy is a professor of music in the Thornton School of Music at USC. He served as director of the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz at USC and has written and recorded extensively about jazz. Please welcome Dr. Ron McCurdy. Thank you, and thank you again, Justin Berkobian. Paula, you have some questions about rap.
I do.
Okay.
I want to be able to... Okay, first of all, I just plain would like to be a better consumer of rap, I think. Mm. But the other thing is, I would like to fool people into believing that I know more than I know on this subject because, frankly, it's cool. I maybe fall into the nerdy category. So, Ron, what makes rap rap?
Very good question.
Thank you.
The whole idea of rap music... It's a form of combining poetry with music and storytelling.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing evolved from the whole Jamaican connections. And in fact, one of my dear friends who passed away, Milt Hinton, was a great jazz bass player, played with the great Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker. Wow. And he said, Ron, do you know who the father of rap music is? I said, no. Afrika Bambaataa? No. DJ Kool Herc? Mm-mm. He said, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
I said,
that guy used to kind of jerk you around a bit, that friend of yours.
I go, well, Milt, help me to understand. What do you mean, Ronald Reagan? He said, well, you have to understand that when Ronald Reagan was president and governor, he cut out a lot of the social programs where people had access to music in schools. They were, so instead of being in band and choir and orchestra, they went away. So those young people who were coming up through school at the time had to find another outlet to unleash that creativity.
Yeah.
And it manifested itself. It's a little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
No. So,
I'd go with a lot.
You know, yeah, but there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden those kids who were in school in the 70s and early 80s, they didn't play in band. There were no bands.
So he pruned back music education, and that impulse had to grow in other directions.
Had to go in a different direction.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And by the way, music education in schools is so important. It helps develop the brain for further learning. It's one of the, people don't get why it's important sometimes. I think they think it's just sort of idle time used. Mm-hmm. But no, it's very, we had Mrs. Farmer in our elementary school, by the way, and she would wheel in a cart with maybe 6 glockenspiels for 30 kids. And what it did, because she was a marketing genius, what it did was it increased everyone's desire to play the glockenspiel.
She created
only
scarcity.
6. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a supply and demand thing.
We are so far away from rap right now.
Ron, are there any glockenspiels in rap?
There should be.
There absolutely should be. All right, now, is rap the same thing as hip-hop?
Hip-hop is the culture, rap is the music. So when we talk about hip-hop, there are like 4 pillars. The music, the MCing, the DJing, the graffiti, and it was called B-boy and G-girling, which is the breakdancing. Mm-hmm. So those are the 4 pillars that's involved with the whole emergence of the hip-hop culture, of which rap is part of that entire culture.
All right, so Ron, tell me, what artists would I need to know, and what would I need to know about them in order to seem cool?
I think today, 2018, would be great to be able to drop some names. If you go into a party and the music's going, I love that Kendrick Lamar. He's special. Yeah.
Being able to identify Kendrick Lamar.
And
right.
He just won a Pulitzer Prize. He's just fantastic. Chance the Rapper, amazing. You know what I mean? So you're able to kind of drop those names. But I would say, before you go to the party, Google those names, go to YouTube, listen just a few minutes of some of the lyrics to get a sense of what they're rapping about.
Can I ask you something else? Can you get me invited to a party? maybe we need to start a lot more basic than that. Yeah.
Of course.
One of the things I noticed when I like to sing along with songs, you know, that's part of the joy of the song. You get to know it well enough that somebody can play a couple of notes from it, you can sing along. But I can't sing fast enough to rap.
Yeah.
Is there a technique that rappers use to get that fast?
Well, the same way someone will on an instrument. You practice. You practice slow.
Well, she talks all the time.
Right. It seems to me that I'm practicing right now.
It seems to me that I'm practicing right now. It seems to me that I'm practicing right now. You rap. It seems to me that I'm practicing right now. And what happens, the rhythms. That's where the music is. The whole concept of rap has to do with poetry and the usage of rhythms. Mm-hmm. And those same rhythms that you hear in rap music were the same rhythms that were used in bebop with Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. I'll tell you a quick story one time. I was doing a master class with a group of high school students somewhere in Texas, and the band was terrible. They were trying to improvise, and it sounded terrible. And I said, this is not working. I said, how many of you guys like rap? All the hands went up. I said, tell me your favorite song. They said, it's your birthday, it's a party, it's a birthday. And all of a sudden, I said, all right, stop right there. Use that rhythm, bop-a-doo-bop, bop-a-doo-bop. Use these 3 notes. Biddle-doo-dap, biddle-dee-doop, biddle-doo-dap, biddle-doo-dap. It's the same rhythm. So it's about the rhythms of how you put the words together. A lot of jazz musicians, there was a favorite song called called Tenor Madness, and the rhythm was go park the car, go park the car, go park the car, bing, bong, baton, rhythms. So, so the whole notion of syncopation,
right,
which is very much a very, which is a very strong part of this rap, I think all music, starting from ragtime with Scott Joplin on through swing era, bebop, it's the syncopated rhythms that gives it that forward motion. So what rap is doing is really not anything new, but it's how you take certain passages. When you said, how do I learn how to rap? How do I learn how to rap? How do I learn how to rap? How do I learn? How do I learn? How do I learn? How do I learn? How do I learn how to rap? It's about the rhythms.
So do that. No, but the rhythms in rap have changed a whole lot, haven't they?
Oh. Stop. Stop.
The rhythms in rap have changed a whole lot. I mean, like, back in the days of Run DMC, they had a very precise, almost formal rhyme structure and rhythm, almost like the early days of rock and roll. Where,
right.
Whereas now, like, you listen to Kendrick Lamar or Chance the Rapper. I mean, they are...
Right.
They're really, really... More, yeah. I guess, sophisticated in their rhythm.
Yeah, and also, they're not as concerned about the last word of a phrase rhyming.
Right.
I was just about to say that. They really cheat with the rhymes.
Yeah, the rhymes kind of go away. The rhyme is rather passe now.
Yeah.
Didn't have to rhyme anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I think that really opens things up for people like me. So if I could just get faster.
Get faster. Don't worry about rhyming.
Yeah.
Rhyming, I can, you already talk.
Yeah.
You already tell stories
that
might or might not have a point.
Yeah, they do. So, they all have a point. You have to be able to peel away the layers and understand the deeper meaning.
Right.
That's
Which I'll
the
do
problem
the third
with
or fourth time I listen to it once you get that rhythm thing and speed thing down.
Yeah, yeah.
And also a lot of rappers have to deal with beats. I was working with a guy named DJ Quick, and his whole concept is he deals with the beats first, and then they put the rap on top of the beats. So the beats come first. Then the rap happens.
That's kind of a somewhat common thing, right? I mean,
yeah,
as far as I understand it, that's a lot of rap is built on that.
Yeah, like, that's the concept, which is the opposite of how most songwriters work.
Right.
They have lyrics first, then they put the music or the music to the music. So it's a whole different concept of how, and this goes back to my Milt Hitting thing about people not having been trained musically, so they're relying on either songs that already existed, which is why so many rappers got sued for copyright infringement.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Don't.
Can't touch this.
You know where that's from?
it's Super Freak.
It's Rick James.
Yeah.
But MC Hammer confiscated that without permission.
Oh, yeah.
Then he got sued.
What was the Sugar Hill Gang? Were they the first? They think they were, don't they?
Sugar Hill Gang.
They had the first hit.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and people like Afrika Bambaataa, DJ Kool Herc, Melly Mel, all these guys, KRS-One, they were born about 25 or 30 years too soon. They were like the Charles Barkley of the basketball world. So anyway, Sylvia Robinson owned a record label called Sugar Hill Records, and she was a very opportunistic woman, and she could tell that rap music there was a commercial value attached to rap. Well, it was coming in that direction.
Uh-huh.
So she found a guy named Big Bank Hank who was working in the pizza shop, and asked him could he rap, and he said yes. She went out to his car, put some beats on, and he started rapping. Now the problem was Big Bank Hank was not really a rapper; he was a bodyguard, he was a bouncer.
But he worked in a pizza place, didn't he?
Pizza place, but he hung around rappers.
Yeah.
And there was a guy named Casanova Fly, who was a well-known established rapper in the Bronx.
Right.
And Big Bank Hank basically confiscated his rap.
Oh, man.
He's like, I'm the C-A-N-O-V-A and the rest in the L and the L-F-L-Y. He basically repeated.
He just took that. See, there's another reason I don't trust big banks.
Yeah, don't trust the big banks. They will... I'm not going to call any names.
He was true to his name, Big Bank Hank.
Yeah.
Just took it.
Yeah.
He should have been Wells Fargo Hank. Yeah, no, that was his, what do you call it, accomplice, Wells Fargo Margo.
That was his... You are a rapper.
Wells Fargo Margo completely works.
I don't talk fast enough to be... I got to practice.
So Rapper's Delight is stolen. It's stolen merchandise.
Basically stolen, and the established rappers were just incensed.
Right.
The fact that Big Bank Hank had made it the big time. He made a big bank Right. It's the name.
Yeah.
But that he grew into that name. Because yes. I'd imagine the bank was not so big in the pizza parlor.
No.
Right.
No. Well, there's...
And he was a one-hit wonder. I mean, that was the only song that he ever did, but he milked it for all it was worth. Yeah. And that was the biggest song that Sylvia Robinson and her record label ever had. But that put rap music on the map, and it showed the rest of the world that there was a commercial value to this art form. And then, of course, Run DMC. I mentioned them earlier.
Right.
N.W.A. These groups became very popular, and all of a sudden... It was, I mean, I had a call for my Langston Hughes project. Someone would have Chance the Rapper to play with my group.
Uh-huh.
And my agent called and said, well, just for grins, how much would it cost to add Chance the Rapper to your group? And Chance's manager said, $1 million for one concert. I thought to myself, I need to learn how to rap myself.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm in the wrong business.
Well, it takes his practice.
Chance Thank actually, you for that.
Chance is a Chicago guy, and he was a fairly recent guest on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Was he really?
Yeah, he just walked down to the Chase Bank Auditorium. No, not the Big Bank Auditorium.
What? He won't even go in the Big Bank. He's so upset.
Why don't they?
Yeah. 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 You know, Tip Jar Lamar, he did very well.
You are a rapper, Tip Jar Lamar. That's
fantastic.
Tip Jar Lamar. Just say it with me. Tip Jar Lamar.
Tip Jar Lamar.
It's a little white.
Tip jar.
Try it again. Try it again. We're getting there.
All right. Wait. No, you do it. I'll do it.
Tip jar Jamar.
Tip jar Lamar. Wait. I got to do it when you're doing it.
Tip jar Lamar. 2, 3.
Tip jar Lamar.
Tip jar Lamar.
Tip jar Lamar.
You know what,
Is
Paula?
It still too white?
It is slightly whiter.
I bet you one of those people who's clapping on beats 1 and 3 at the concerts.
More than likely, yeah.
Are you one of those people?
It might be.
Yeah,
you know, there's a classic piece of video. I want to bring this back around to Ronald Reagan.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
There's a classic piece of video of Ronald Reagan listening to some gospel in the White House, and he's clapping on the 1 and the 3.
Oh, no, no.
And
no.
This, you'll love this. Nancy Reagan takes her hand, and she holds his hands for one beat and then lets it go, and now he's on the 2 and 4. Just needed to bring it back to Ronald Reagan.
If only she could have been more effective with him on other issues.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
we
might not even have rap.
Right. Okay, so...
Our loss.
Just one big question, because this will be very helpful for Paula impressing people at parties, because she'll add these to her collection. Desert Island, you've got 3 rap albums. What are they going to be?
N.W.A., Straight Outta Compton.
All right, Straight Out. That's the name of the
now,
album.
Is that for
Straight
historical purposes, or is that one that you want with you?
You want to have that one with you. No, okay. But you can't use the N-word around people.
Right.
That might get you shot, but you can't do that one.
Oh, right.
Don't sing along with that one.
Oh, thank you very much for that.
Don't do that.
That prophylactic there. Yeah. Thank you.
That wouldn't be people
saying, no.
You know,
yeah.
When can I use that word? The answer is never.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't in my plans.
But you know what? Genuinely, like as a guy who listens to not a lot, but a fair amount of hip hop, that's kind of a downside of listening for me, because I like to sing along in my car and I can't.
Can't do that.
Not even alone in my car will I do
so
that.
So if I'm at a party and somebody puts an album on, and as a white person,
beep,
and everybody else is singing,
beep,
I have to just
lay out during those words.
On that word,
just stop. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Straight Outta Compton.
Right. So we got Blank with Attitude.
With Attitude. you cracking me up. I would do KRS-One's Sound of the Police.
KR Sound of the Police.
KRS-One.
KRS-One.
Yes.
And then I would do To Pimp a Butterfly.
Ah, To Pimp Kendrick. A Butterfly.
I would do that one. That would be my...
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Kendrick Lamar.
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
And that way you get a little bit of old school, something a little more contemporary. We kind of cover a couple of eras.
So there's no Kanye on there on that list.
I know. You only gave me 3 choices.
That's right. That's right. We said 3. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, yeah. All right.
So you got it written down?
What was the name of the KRS-One album?
Sound of the Police.
Sound of the Police. Okay. Sound.
I believe that's Da Police.
Da Police.
D-A. Da Police.
Of Da Police.
And
I can say that without being shot. I can say Da Police.
Sound.
I can say Da Police without sounding white and getting shot. Is that true?
You're good with that one.
Thank you.
Well, you can do it without getting shot.
Could you give... Ron, could you give me a permission slip that I can carry around?
I would say, Dr. Ron said it's okay. I can use that word, the police.
The police.
Leave me alone. I'm insulated.
Yeah,
here.
Right. I'm going to carry around just a little permission slip.
So we got that. All right. Well, then, thank you, Dr. Ron McCurdy, for those insights into the world of hip-hop and rap. Hip-hop and rap.
That's a new thing.
Into the world of hip-hop and rap. And Paula, what have you learned about rap to pass on to our listeners right now?
Well, if I could encapsulate, if I could freeze dry and shrink wrap what I learned from Ron, it's this.
Would you like some accompaniment by our house band, Justin Berkobian?
That would be perfect. If I go to a party and I want to feel cool, I mention Chance the Rapper and I won't seem the fool. Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize. Big Bang Hank made pizza pies. The beats are first and the lyrics are second. Rhyming isn't important anymore.
Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Justin Berkobian. Well, and Dr. Ron McCurdy, we can't thank you enough. He's a professor of music at USC's Thornton School of Music. Thank you for being on our show.
That was fantastic, Ron. Thanks.
The cat of the week is Sammy from Manchester by the Sea, Massachusetts. Thank you, house band Justin Berkobian. Coming up after the break, mold. The last thing you want to find in your underwear drawer.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, what do all these funny people have in common? Cecily Strong, Jason Mantzoukas, Duncan Trussell, Paul Scheer, Scott Aukerman, Beth Stelling, Tom Papa, Lauren Lapkus, Louis Anderson, Lisa Gilroy, Paul F. Tompkins, and Sir Patrick Stewart. They've all played characters on the hit comedy podcast Mega, an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch. The next time you're in the mood for some laughs, great guests, out of this world improv and cultural commentary, we're here for you, baby. Listen to Mega anywhere you listen to podcasts.
All righty. Now, Paula, it's time for some more advice. You and I have both had issues with mold.
Oh, I've had mold problems.
Tell us.
I didn't even hear about mold until just a few years ago. Like, mold in your house, that is. Right. I mean, I heard of mold before that.
Right. It's not new.
No, but the idea that it could cause health problems, I had never heard about. But we had I don't own my house. We had a leak in the roof, and water came in. It ended up coming down through a light fixture.
Sure.
And that didn't seem good. And then a little while later, black, what I assume is mold, these black spots started showing up on the ceiling.
Almost certainly mold, I would say.
Well, I contacted my landlord, And she came over and she looked at, my landlord has a tendency to just send a family member in.
Right.
To deal with. And I don't think they're trained in any area.
Right.
She'll just say, you know, my nephew Nick, he will come.
For the sake of argument, he is a mold expert.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Precisely. In that moment, all of a sudden, Nick is wearing the mold expert hat. So anyways, Nick came and took a look and he told his aunt that they had cut a hole in the roof before they repaired the roof and let it air out. And so it should be fine. So she came and she said, all you have to do is bleach it off the ceiling. And then I asked
bleached
her. I said,
she bleached it.
But just recently, like another, there's more black marks.
To indicate that the bleaching didn't really work and the mold is still
multiplying. Well, it moved to another section.
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't think mold migrates, but it might. We'll find out in a minute. I have a mold story too, which is, it just happened just about 2 years ago. My sister-in-law was moving and she asked me if I would like her old refrigerator. And I thought, yeah, why not have a beer fridge in the garage? So they moved the refrigerator over and it had been unplugged for weeks. And she had thought she'd cleaned it all out. But I opened the freezer and it turned out the one thing she hadn't cleaned was my nephew's dead iguana. Like a big one.
Yeah.
Luigi was his name. And he'd been wrapped in foil. And I guess what happened was, in the interim, Luigi exploded. And so the entire freezer was covered with, like, streaks and spots of, like black mold and maybe with some blue dots on it. And I talked to a friend about it, and he was like, well, if it's black mold in your freezer from a dead thing, you need to wear a surgical mask before you clean it. And I, having already cleaned it, was like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. So,
P.S., it turned out the refrigerator broke in transit. It never worked. We threw it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. So, this is your sister-in-law that I know?
Yeah, Stephanie.
So, okay. So, Stephanie was cleaning out the freezer, and she never noticed a foil container, a big iguana wrapped in foil. She never noticed that
when she was
cleaning. I guess
when she was cleaning it out, she was like, where's that ice tray? Is it behind the iguana? No, I think I took the ice tray out.
No.
All right, boys, ship it.
Yeah. She's not an attention to detail woman.
No, well, I guess yes. You see that iguana there for so long, and you just think it's part of the freezer.
But wait a minute. Didn't Lucas have a snake named Luigi?
Yes.
Yeah. So he just keeps getting...
I think this was the iguana, but he did have a snake. I don't think the snake was what I found in that. It would be hard to tell at that point. Could have been a snake. The legs could have been mold.
It's just weird, like, that this, he keeps getting reptiles and naming them Luigi and then putting them in the freezer.
I think it's, if I were to guess, and he doesn't do this anymore, he's now a sophomore at UCSB, but if I were to guess, it would be because the reptiles are green. And Luigi, the plumber character from the beloved Mario Brothers series of video games, is also always in green.
Yeah. This is just another strike against video games, in my opinion.
I don't think it's related to that at all.
By the way,
Let's get back to mold. It's
ugly, mold.
It's smelly, it's a problem. Let's find out how to deal with it. Please welcome operations manager of Water Damage Zone Mold and Restoration, Angela Valdez.
Hey, Angela. So nice to have you.
Thank you.
And you're here in the nick of time. One of the things Angela told us, by the way, because when you go to record something, you know, you turn your phones off. But Angela said she has to leave her phone on because this is her emergency number.
She's got three phones here. One of them has to be on. And if the emergency phone rings, she has to leave.
We have a 45-minute response time. So that means I've got technicians on call right now.
Well,
because the longer you wait, the more work it's going
to
be, right?
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, like if there's a iguana, for example, that explodes, you want to get to that right away. All right, Angela. Well, speaking of phones, I used my silly, stupid flat thing here to take a picture of my mold just before I left the house.
I want to remind our listeners that we started the show with Paula talking about how one should never show pictures on one's phone by way of conversation.
This is a rare exception to the rule.
This is an exception to the rule.
All right. Okay. I'm going to show you the mold, and then I'm going to show you where my friend is staying for the summer.
Oh boy.
And Angela, I had this dream last night. all right. So that's the new mold. She bleached off some, and then this came like a few feet away from it.
This is on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Well, the most important thing that she did wrong was not only
was
send
calling her nephew. Was
also using bleach. Bleach does absolutely nothing to
her
mold.
Entire family is on 24-hour call.
Wait, so bleach doesn't kill mold?
No, it does not. All it does is white it out. and it gives it moisture to regrow and grow even more. That's why you still see it.
Well, what? Wow. Wait a minute. I use bleach for all sorts of things, and I thought I was killing.
You can use mold for mildew. Mildew
you
and
can
mold.
Use bleach for mildew, not mold.
Yes,
you
yes,
use
I'm
mold
sorry.
For
you
mildew.
Can use bleach for mildew, correct.
It's like using vomit for diarrhea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go on, Angela.
Anywho, you can use bleach to rid mold, but only the color. It doesn't eradicate it.
But it's still doing its thing.
All it's doing is just what the name of the product is, bleaching it.
Yeah.
So you can't see it.
Yeah. Once you've made it bleached, what does it do?
Nothing. All it does is feed the growth that's there to grow even more after the coloration comes back.
Why can't you just paint over it or bleach out the color and leave it there? Why? What's wrong with having mold?
And are there different kinds of mold that are more dangerous than others, like iguana mold?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Iguana mold, you might want to run away from that.
Okay. Oh, so I really could have died.
I mean, well, at the same time, it's biohazard if it exploded.
Right.
So
right. Jeez, if it exploded, what could have happened to you?
I don't know, but I've been eating more insects than ever over the last and catching them with my tongue.
Yeah. And you know, last night when you got up from your chair, there's a little bit of skin there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've been losing like all my skin like once a month.
Yeah. That's weird.
All right. I know molds release microscopic spores in the air, and those spores can harm people with respiratory problems, right? And I know that they can even cause respiratory problems, but are there some molds that are just flat out toxic in their own right?
Correct. Yes.
There are. Okay.
Yes. And what will they do to you?
Stachybotrys is the most toxic.
No!
Yes.
Stachybotrys?
Yes. The worst.
That was actually Luigi's last name.
Yes.
I'm a little worried at this point.
No.
Luigi Stachybotrys.
Stachybotrys was an early rapper.
No, he was. He was?
Stachybotrys, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of course, Stachybotrys, and
right.
you
he
said
became,
you knew
he
rap.
Known as Stacky B in later years.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about Stachybotrys, even though I don't want it. It sounds like the word botulism is somehow related to it. Am I right?
I feel like it's Stacky. Right. Stachybotrys is one of the most common toxic molds that you see when you have growth in your home. After a water damage or any kind of moisture that you receive in your home, you can grow some kind of growth, microbial, fungi, all the same. Uh-huh. It's not more so mildew, because mildew is white and grayish and fuzzy.
Uh-huh. What is mildew?
And mildew is really the same thing as mold. It's still a microbial. It's just a lesser version of
it. Okay. Uh-huh.
So really, it's
fuzzy.
Only, yeah, it's only.
So it's warm.
Yes, it's warm. Yeah, it needs a warm host to love on.
Yeah. You could. Yeah. So it sounds like mildew you could actually sleep on.
Yeah. But mold, especially the Stachybotrys.
Oh my gosh, Stachybotrys.
Yes, you definitely don't want to have that.
Okay. What can it do to your body, the Stachybotrys?
If you don't have respiratory distress, if you don't have allergies, if you don't have asthma, it, in a high quantity, you can receive, or you can feel, rather, these new symptoms. And they can stay with you for a while.
Uh-huh.
I know for a fact that I've had a client that was living in a mold-infested crawl space. He was living in his home. Below was a crawl space. He's on a foundation. And he exuberated skin rashes all over his face, his arms, his limbs, his legs.
Oh, my heavens.
Well, he had a pipe break. He called a plumber.
Yeah.
Plumber went down in the crawl space and saw the entire, I think it was over 1,500 square feet for the crawl space.
Yeah.
Was the floor joists and the subfloor that you can see inside of the crawl space was all completely covered in growth.
Oh, my gosh.
So with the crawl space, you think about it. Crawl spaces are dark, warm, damp. Sometimes you want to be like that, but not a crawl space.
Yeah.
So you go in there and you have no ventilation.
This is horrifying.
Yes. You have no ventilation. What's going to happen? You're going to have humidity buildup. When humidity builds up, it goes up and it travels up to anything that's not wet to absorb.
Uh-huh.
And when it absorbs, that's when it starts coming up to the part where, you know, cabinets in the kitchen, flooring, walls. It can be very gross.
It sounds gross. And I only wish that the listener right now could see Angela's hand gesture. They are a step away from YMCA.
Yeah. But like an
evil Sporus YMCA.
Yeah, yeah.
Angry at mold.
This sounds
I'm angry at
horrible.
Mold now.
Now, wait a minute.
At home, I have a mass. It's and it's often damp. It's like black and hairy and barks occasionally. Is it normal
barking,
for mold?
Walk away.
For mold to bark?
I think
never.
I think that might be a dog.
Oh, I do have it. Oh, that's my dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, I feel
it's
a lot
easy
better.
To confuse those.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you notice that when you breathe it in,
yeah,
it gives you respiratory problems?
Yeah, respiratory problems. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But not mold, apparently, so that's okay.
No. It's probably just mildew if it's furry. let me ask you a question, Angela.
Yes.
Are you ever asked to testify in court?
Absolutely.
Has there ever been a court case that you were involved in where a person was renting a home and there was mold and it was cared for by a family member who was
you can come right and ask Angela
and you got the rent lowered for the person? Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Oh.
You should have called me a long time ago.
Yeah, I guess so. Can I get retroactive?
Probably.
Hey, that might be possible. You're a renter.
Can mold kill you?
Well, I guess in heavy amounts of quantity, I'm sure. In some way. For us personally,
it could kill you in some way.
I mean,
dead is dead.
I mean, well, it could not kill you to where you expire. It could kill your lungs.
Oh, okay.
To where you need to have, you know, a lung transplant. Or
can you get a lung transplant?
Can't you?
You can. I think you can.
I think you can.
Yeah. No, you don't need one, Paula. Now you're just imagining. You do this. No, you're imagining things. You're not even in your living room now. So. You're going to be fine. All right, do you need a lung? I'll give you a lung.
I would give you a lung, Adam. I really would. I have another really important question.
Yes.
Is there any way that cat pee can eradicate, can eviscerate mold?
No.
There is no application anywhere in your business.
Paula, if you're still looking to find a silver lining for your cats peeing all over your house.
I am.
It does not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to need this in a court of law. I really am.
You should have asked our previous guest.
I can provide a lawyer for you.
If cat pee can help you rap faster, the answer would have been the same.
No, I think it can. If you have someone with like a water gun full of cat urine, and they say, if you don't talk faster, I'm going to spray this at you.
All right. Yeah, you're right. I stand corrected, Paula.
Uh-huh. Exactly. all right, so what was the last...
The difference between mold and mildew. Mildew is white, gray, blackish. Mold is going to be black or green.
Black or green.
But there is also a very strong white mold that's called poria. And that usually lives in kind of the agricultural part of your home. So if you have crawl space, it's inside of your dirt, clay, soil, whatever you have in your crawl space.
Uh-huh.
That is like the, how we explain it, the HIV of mold.
Oh, is poria?
Yes.
Really? Because it sounds like a name that someone would give their girl nowadays.
And not pronounce it?
Doesn't it?
Probably shouldn't, yeah.
Yeah.
It's poria.
Please meet my daughter, poria.
It's poria, yeah. It's poria. Yeah. Dinner time.
Yeah.
Dinner time.
Yeah, poria. Can you prepare the meal?
Poria.
Come here.
Poria is a wonderful cook, and I think you're going to enjoy what she's made for you.
Poria. Come out of the kitchen. Come meet your cousin.
Yeah. He's here to eradicate you.
All right. Well, Angela, thank you for filling us in about the wide world of this fungi. Paula, what advice, given what you've learned from Angela, do you have for our listeners about dealing with mold?
Well, now that I've listened to Angela, Adam, if I could...
Would you like some backup music for this?
Could I get some backup music
for
this?
Oh, I can make this happen,
from
Justin?
The house band?
Yeah.
If I could make a pamphlet from what I learned from Angela, it would say something like this. Mildew is the plush toy of the mold world. Bleach doesn't kill mold. It bleaches it, and it continues to grow. Mold thrives in wet environments. Call a professional for a proper assessment. But if your landlord's relatives go in your crawl space and don't come out after a while, you should go check on them. They could lose their lungs, and even cat pee won't help.
Angela, thank you for filling us in about the wide, wide world of fungi. Angela Valdez is operations manager at Water Damage Zone. Thank you so much, Angela.
For sure, Water Damage Zone was a theme park.
Yeah, I was there yesterday, in fact.
Yeah, Water Damage Zone.
It's great.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds refreshing.
Thank you, Justin Bracobian. Speaking of music, if you have a theme song for us, email it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Paula, I know you're always out on the road. What have you got coming up?
Well, Adam, on September 7th, I'm going to be in our very own Ken Lezebnik's hometown, Columbia, Missouri. I'll be at the Missouri Theater where Ken worked as an usher in high school. I can't wait to get all the dirt on Ken. You can get all the info at my website, www.paulapoundstone.com. You can even buy T-shirts there.
Great. I bet there's some kind of just 100% cotton thing, right?
No.
No?
No. My T-shirts are a...
Tri-poly blend.
Tri-poly blend.
Yeah,
they're light and soft.
They're very soft.
Remarkably soft.
Yeah, okay. All right. If you need Paula's advice about something, send us an email. That address, again, same place you would be sending the theme song, nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
We'll listen to your thoughts and songs.
Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, and Ken Lezebnik, along with Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Justin Bracobian. And to our guests, Dr. Ron McCurdy and Angela Valdez. Muscle to escort them back to their cars provided by Jonah Glickman.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Thomas Coyne, if you're out there, please call.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.